Father, we come to you again today and we thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for this precious book and thank you, Father, for understanding the home, the mother's place, the father's place, and how that union comes together as one to worship the living, true living God. And now we ask you to bless us today as we open this book once again to get our blessing from high on high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and be turning with me over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Been Mother's Day. There's a mother, son is going to be a meteorologist. And he went to school and got out and came in, was doing his first day of broadcasting. Had some visitors there with him to watch him as he gave the weather report. And he said something like this. This is on the Friday afternoon late. He said, this coming Sunday, he said, there may be some showers. But he said, if the front comes in early enough, we might have a fairly pretty day. And someone raised their hand and said, could I ask you a question? He said, sure, go ahead. He said, when will you know for sure what the weather will be on Sunday? He said, Monday morning. Amen. I heard one of the farmers said that he was talking to some people in town one day. He said, I can tell the weather when my calves. He said, I don't need a weatherman. And they said, I don't believe that. He said, I can. I can look at my cows and tell you exactly what the weather's going to be. So they sent a committee out to check him out. And he got them on a wagon and was carrying them out through the pasture. And he came over to some cows. And he looked at some. He said, see those cows standing right over there? He said, yeah, that's a sign you're going to have a good day. It's going to be a good weather day. They rode a little bit further around the pasture on the other side. He said, see those cows right over there? He said, yeah, they're laying down. He said, that's right. He said, they're laying down simply because, he said, it's going to rain. And so they went on around, started back to the house, and the fellow said, hey, wait just a minute. Now, we saw some over there that was standing. You said it was going to be a good day. And over here's another place you said that they were laying down. You said it was going to rain. He said, I want to ask you a question. See those cows over there? Some of them standing and some of them laying down. He said, that's right. How do you tell the weather there? He said, it's partly cloudy. Well, if you have your Bibles, look with me in verse 46. And we're going to read about the Lord Jesus' mother. In verse 46, it said, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren, he said, stood without, desiring to speak with him. I'm getting going and coming, Brother Terry, if you can. Can you tell what the trouble is? Now I have to go to this mic. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples, and he said, behold my mother and my brethren. Now this is a very unusual statement that we have here that's mentioned by Jesus Christ. They didn't understand what he was talking about. But Jesus had a reason for saying this at this particular moment. He said again, behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus came to save us. No doubt about that. We understand that. We understand he didn't come to reform us. He came to save us. His name, he saved his people from their sin. To reform us is not salvation. To be reformed is not regeneration. Reformation is not redemption. Reformation may change the outside of a person temporarily, but it can never change the inside of a person permanently. When Jesus Christ came, ladies and gentlemen, he changes the inside first before he ever starts trying to change the outside. Because without the inside being changed first, there's no way possible that the outside ever meet anything at all other than just a temporary place here and there for some good things, and then it's gone. But here he's talking about his mother. Now I want to talk a little bit about the mother of Jesus. I heard where there, and I've told this before, I think, but it's interesting, it makes sense, where there's a grandmother was visited some of her people, and they didn't go to church, so she decided she'd go to a church, and she went to a church, and the preacher preached, and she got kind of happy, and she was from a church that didn't mind saying amen and praise the Lord and so forth, and she got happy, and she began to really praise the Lord. And suddenly these two men came up who were ushering and said, "My dear lady, we appreciate you being here today, but we don't do that here. You interfere with the preacher's preaching." And so she quieted down a few minutes, but he said a few other things about her Lord, and amen, praise the Lord. And so these two men came back, and they got hold of her arm and started ushering her out the door to leave the church. And she went out, she said with a loud voice, she said, "You know, it only took one donkey for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem. It takes two to get me out of this church." Well, the Bible is a book of details. God never forgets the smallest matter. Nothing in the Bible is without a purpose. And here we find, dotted out through the Gospels, little statements that have to do with Christ's mother. It's not that she's dominant, she's hid silent behind, but she's there. And it does it in such a way to give us some understanding about this woman. Most of these are parenthetical and have nothing to do with the main story. It's just as that she sees her son in certain stages of his life, in his ministry, the Bible shows that she was there. You never find where Joseph went anything much except when he was 12 years old going down to Jerusalem to worship at that time at the Passover. But Jesus wanted us all to know that his mother was always around. Dotted out through the Gospels, you find such phrases as "the mother of Jesus was there," or "the Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there." Or here, as you see in Matthew 12, 46, "mother of Jesus stood without and requests that she could see her son." Now, this gave Jesus a tremendous opportunity to do a great teaching and demonstration. He gave an opportunity to illustrate that the need of a personal relationship with him is necessary. There is a personal relationship with those who are born within a precise family. Whoever you are, I'm an Ennis. I know a lot of Ennises that live in different places. And sometimes people will say on visitation, "Are you kin to so-and-so?" And sometimes I have to say, "No, not that I know of. But if they're Ennis, we may go back somewhere or another." But there's no feeling of real personal relationship with them, even though they're Ennises. You know where the personal relationship comes? Those that were born in my family. Those who are my brothers and sisters, my mother and dad. That's a personal relationship. And Jesus here, when they said, your mother and your brothers are out, want to see you. And he said, "Who is my mother and my brother?" He said to the apostles and others, "These are my mother and my brothers." You know what? He was illustrating a personal relationship. You have a personal relationship to be born into the family, earthly family. There's a personal relationship to be born into the spiritual family. And unless a person is born into the spiritual family, he has no relationship with Christ. He has no relationship with God. He has no relationship with others who are called Christians. Now, here's the thing. That destroys the fatherhood of all men. That destroys that because we're born physically, we automatically become the children of God because we're born physically. If that be the case, you wouldn't need the new birth. But the Bible teaches to be born one, you have to be born once, you have to be born twice to be able to be in the family of God. And so what Jesus said here before he ever went to Calvary, he said, "Who are my mother? Who is my mother? Who are my brethren?" He said, "I say to you, these are my brothers and my sisters and my mother." He's talking about a personal. He's not lost his mind here. He don't understand. He's not saying, "I don't understand what it means." He's saying this is a personal relationship that we have with each other in this new family that's coming on the scene when he goes and fulfills his father's will. Now, Jesus is the center stage here. The Bible spotlight is on him. Yet, notice his mother was there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you two quick points, if I may. First, let's look at Jesus' family. Mary, his mother, he had half-brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas. We know he had a half-sister, though she's not named, because we see that in Matthew 13, 55, 56. He has an earthly father named Joseph. The only thing about it is you don't see much about Joseph. He's not even mentioned much in it all. You know, after he was 12 years old, mentioned going down into Jerusalem for the Passover. God, his heavenly father, his earthly father, stepfather was Joseph. God himself was his heavenly father. Now, the amazing thing about this, though, in the early stage of his ministry, even here, about a year into his ministry, his brothers and sisters, who were half-brother and half-sister, did not believe he was who he was. If you look at me in John chapter 7, I'll prove that to you. And no doubt, there's a lot of problems here when we get over when Christ is on the cross, though they did receive him later. In John chapter 7, he said in verse 3, as he goes down, is going to go to the Feast of the Tabernacle down in Jerusalem, and he doesn't go when they thought he ought to went. And his brother, in verse 3, therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that the disciples may see thy works that thou doest. If you are, watch. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. His brothers have said, hey, you say you who you are. If you're doing all these things, go down to the Feast of the Tabernacle and show them openly who you are. Hey, you don't become known to do it in silent. His brothers and his family were giving him some criticism about showing. Watch, and then he says in verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. At this time, the beginning of his ministry, they didn't believe he was who he was. They had to have more evidence about that. So his brother, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his half-sister, did not believe that he was who he was to start with in his ministry. The opposition that we may meet even from our relatives must not drive us away from God's will in our life. Not only did his brothers and half-sister did not believe he was who he was, his friends thought he was mad also. As a matter of fact, if you look in Mark chapter 3 and verse 21, you find that God says that it says this about him in Mark chapter 3, and down about verse 21, it said, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is beside himself. In other words, the things that he was doing, he had chose the 12, he was giving them instructions, they had seen things and heard things that he had done, and what happened, he said, when his friends heard of it, when they heard what they said that he was doing, it says, they went out to lay hands on him, they found him, and they said, he's beside himself. In other words, he's gone mad. He's gone religiously mad. Then you know his enemies didn't pay any attention to him much to begin with, because they followed the religious leaders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Herodians that was in the Sanhedrin court. Even his mother's claim must not compete with the will of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say something here, and I believe it bears out biblically. His mother's will can never compete with the will of God for his life. And that says to me, this discourages Mariology. You cannot worship Mary and be right. You can't do it because of who he is and because of who Mary was. Mary, no doubt, in my mind, was one of the greatest ladies that ever lived. And she certainly was the purest and the most holy lady in the time that God Almighty sent the Holy Spirit to overshadow her. He says, you have been highly favored in God's sight. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if there had been anyone else on this earth at that time that had been better than she, he'd have chose her. You know why? Because Mary showed she was the best one. She was the one that God knew had everything that was needed that his son could be raised and up to the time that he got his ministry in line and fulfilled what God's desire was at that particular time. And so we look and notice that Mariology is not something that should be taught today where we worship her. Spiritual ties are raised above physical ones. Jesus was not reconciled. Jesus was not renouncing his family when he said this. He wasn't denying them. He loved them more than they loved him. He proved that because he died for them. To start with, they wouldn't even think he was. By the way, you can understand that. I mean, can you imagine one day if you had some siblings coming along and all of a sudden someone came along and tried to make you think that they were someone sent from God and they won't? By the way, you know, that's what got Joseph in trouble with that dream by his other brothers. There's always problems with siblings when it comes to one being highly put above another in a home somewhere or another. And so before we actually, you know, can criticize these other brothers and that sister, let's remember at this time he was just like one of them. He started his ministry, and now they will have to watch. And, of course, by the time he rose from the dead, they had no choice but to believe that he was who he said he was. I mean, after all, I think if we had siblings or one that was telling us that there was some type of anointing of God upon them in a miraculous way, and could do great things that man had never done before, and all of a sudden we wouldn't believe, and then suddenly he died, and we knew he died, we saw him bury, and then a few days later, all of a sudden he was back alive, I think it changed our minds too. Amen? If we had any mind at all, it would change our mind. And so here, he loved them more than they loved him. His last request on the cross was for John to take care of his mother in John 19. In Acts 1:14, in the upper room while they were praying, the Bible teaches us that Mary was there with his brethren before on the day of Pentecost. Now, when divine life is quickened in us, when we receive the nature of God through the new birth, he enters into a new world of relationship, that is, we do. When Jesus Christ comes in, there's a new dawn for us in a way that we've never seen before. We have entered into a relationship with God in the sense that not only is he our God, you heard me say that many times, and I do that because I believe I want God to know that I acknowledge him as my God, the God that I worship, but I thank him and honor him as my Heavenly Father, because that is a relationship. The Old Testament saints had things to do with God, but they didn't have the relationship as a family, though they were the family of the nation of Israel. When Jesus Christ came, he broke down the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, and those who trust Christ, whether it be Jew or Gentile, comes into what is known in the New Testament as the family of God. And that's a privilege that we get when we trust Jesus as Savior. And by the way, that will never come to anyone who does not trust Jesus Christ as Savior. So, for this higher life, we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And I said to start with, God is not the father of all men when they're born physically, in spite of what some people may say. Ladies and gentlemen, he is their creator. Yes, but he's not their father. You have to be born the second time for him to become your father. The fact that we're born physically shows us that we are his creator, or we are his creation. He is the creator. The fact that you're sitting here now, the fact that those are listening a few minutes by radio, the fact that those here by Ustream, that you're alive today is simply because you're born in God's plan physically. That don't make you a child of God automatically. That don't make God your father automatically. You have to be born the second time to become a child of God. And that is the theme through this book. Not only did he come to save his own as their Messiah, but they rejected him in God's plan. So you and I, if you're a Gentile, could have the privilege to believe the record that God gave of his son, so we would have the honor to be called children of God. And Jesus Christ would honor us by not ashamed to call us brethren, no matter what he sees in our lives. You know why? He paid the price for our sin. What a wonderful thing when we see what God has done for us. The mother of Jesus, he is the father of all those who trust Jesus Christ as Savior. He is this higher life in Matthew 12, 44, 47 through 50, Mark 3, and Luke 8. We find the information on this line. His brothers and sisters did not accept him at first. His friends did not accept him at first. They said he was beside himself. They said that he was mad. In John chapter 7, verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. And also, it might have been because they would actually believe in the religious leaders. And the reason for that is because they were always taking counsel to try to kill him. And you find in one place in Matthew 12, verse 14, He'd come in, he'd say something they didn't like, and then they'd say, we got to get rid of this guy. And so they were always trying to destroy him. And you can be sure if they were trying to destroy him in the synagogues, they were teaching that. And the people who went there followed and had this in their mind. They'd hear Christ teach, hear miracles of some kind, and suddenly they began to believe. And then they hear the religious leaders, and suddenly they turn them, everyone away from what they've seen with their own eyes, that he proved himself to be who he said he was, but they believe the religious leaders more than they believe God himself in the flesh. And so here, maybe it was because of the religious leader that they actually didn't believe him to start with. In John 10, verse 20, he had a devil and is mad, they said. In Acts chapter 26, verse 24, when Paul was preaching to Festus, Festus said, thou art beside thyself, Paul. Much learning has made thee mad. In Jesus Christ, there is a new relationship, and the world can't understand it. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, what happens is this. When we say that we are God's children, they think we're boasting. And we know, you know, and I know very well, we didn't deserve it. And living for God now for years, we still don't deserve it. But he loved us. And all we want them to know, they can have the same thing. And yet, because God convicts them, they hear it through us who give the story that God once told about his son, then they automatically think that we're their enemy. We're trying to cram something down their throat rather than actually believe that they can have what we have and someone has to tell them about the story. Now look at Jesus' mother for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 47, when Jesus casted out devils and preached his sermon about the unpardonable sin, we just read that she was there standing without want to talk to him. John 2, when he performed the first miracle, turned the water into wine, his mother was there. She gave the instructions what to do at that particular time. In John 19, Christ died on the cross. His mother was there. When you look at Acts 1:14, Jesus is in heaven. The 120 up in the upper room are going to be praying and waiting for the promise of God at that time, wanting to decide what to do about Judas, which in turn was one of the 12. And here, as they talked about that in that upper room, Mary was there in that prayer meeting. Christ must have took great strength as a human being for his mother in the crowd at times that he could see. Wonder where Joseph was at. Some say he was dead. He might have been, but he wasn't dead all of his life. We have very little about Joseph, but we have a lot. And dotted out through the Gospels about Mary, Christ must have took strength in her. This silent lady from Nazareth who went to Bethlehem and had no room in the inn is there for her son that she loved every chance she had. No doubt, maybe she heard he'd be in the vicinity. I don't think he gave her his itinerary. I don't think he knew his itinerary as far as step by step here on this earth. I really don't. But I think that where she heard he was at, she recognized that as a mother to be there, even though it was silent, and you see very little about her. Her heart was there with him. Mary, the unseen soldier who pondered things in her heart when the angels talked about him being coming and the shepherds came and they praised God and gave him all that was needed and giving him praise at that time. And so as you look at this, you see that Mary is there. When the wise men came, she stayed in the shadows. When you look with me in Luke chapter 2, you see Simon comes. He's down at the temple. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, he said, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Looking in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now they are going to take him to the temple. And he said, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. That is, he had been revealed to Simon. God had, he would see him. And notice, he said, the Lord's Christ. The Lord's Christ. The Messiah, the one that should come. Watch. And he came by the Spirit. Notice, Simon went to the temple by the Spirit. Unto the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God. And he said, watch this, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Watch this next verse. Which thou hast prepared before the face of, watch the next word, A-L-L, all people. And by the way, that includes all. I don't care when they live, when they were on this earth, it includes all. But it doesn't come automatically. You have to believe the record that God gave of His Son. And that record, the Holy Spirit, will bring it to your heart to know that it's truth. And you can put your soul on that forever and ever, for eternity, because God Himself has said it, and He makes it real to our heart. And He said, watch, in verse 32, and light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus Christ, it's hard for man to see this in his humanistic way, but Jesus Christ broke down that wall of partition between the two. Now Jew and Gentile comes together the same way in grace in the local New Testament church where we worship God at. Then I like, and he said, and Joseph and his mother marvel at those things which were spoken of him in that temple at that particular day. Simon saw him in the temple, and he said, let thy servant depart in peace. Also, Ananias gave thanks there in verse 20, 36 through 38, and praised and worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus amazed the doctors and the lawyers at 12 years old in Luke chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, he had this amazing way about him as a young boy. They know that his calling was of his heavenly Father. When he cast out the demons, I'm telling you, his mother was there. His mother was there in Ananias. His mother was there in the temple of Simon. His dad was there too. He was there with him when he went to Jerusalem. His dad was there too. When he cast out demons, though, we don't see Joseph mentioned. When he was on the cross, she was there, but he's not mentioned. This woman, was a tremendous woman. This is what makes mother great. And what makes mothers in the plural great? A mother who's in the shadow. One who prays and hopes and teach and works and do without and weep for her children. Love them whether they're good or bad. This is what God gave to a heart, to a mother. Sometimes the fathers don't have that atmosphere in their heart. They're made different. But the mother has it there in her heart. Many great men have had worthless fathers. But you won't find many great men that had a bad mother. Because the mother, God will use, she's there more than the father, and certainly in days past, because the father worked and she was a housekeeper. Now, look at Jesus on the cross just for a minute. We've looked at his family and his friends. Look at him on the cross, and we watch his mother here also. Angels looked down from heaven. The world looked on. And God is about to turn his back on his son due to the sin that's on his shoulders. Not his sins, but the sins of the world, including his mother, Mary, and his stepdad, Joseph. He is going to take their place. What will Jesus say? He's hanging on the cross. God is going to extract the eternal death from him that you and I deserve. And he's hanging on the cross. What will this wonderful man say while he's hanging there? Will he teach us some great theological truth before he draws his last breath? What an amazing stand he'd have. Would he do some great miraculous thing at this moment, though it will be miraculous 3 days later? What is it would he do? Would he call 10,000 angels to his rescue? By the way, he said he could, and by the way, he could. What will this man do? Well, if you look at me in John chapter 19, turn there and we're closing. Thank God for Mary, the mother of Jesus. In John chapter 19, look with me about over in verse 25 and 26. This is a blessing. Watch. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. There she is. She's always standing somewhere silently. Don't you know she stood and looked at her son? And no doubt knowing this is one of the better sons that's ever walked on the face of the earth. No, I'm sure he never gave his mother a problem. He was the Son of God. And now seeing this son that she loved the rest of her family. But there's something about that, and we'll see in a few minutes. It's not all clear. But there she is, her heart is broken. And she's weeping along with the others as they weep. And watch. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister Mary, and the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, now he said a few words, Father, forgive them, they know what they do. He's my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These things have going to come from his mouth. But now he looks and he sees his mother and that disciple standing by whom he loved. And John always writes to whom he loved because John, there's no doubt, most scholars believe this disciple. John had enough respect not to use his name when he wrote this. He says the disciple that Jesus loved. And you go back, and when he put disciple that Jesus loved, you go back and see what Jesus did in the, when he gave the Lord's the Last Supper there and so forth. You see how much that he loved John. And disciple loved John loved him. And he said, he saith unto his mother, Woman! Wait a minute. Someone say, why didn't he call him Mary? We have to learn culture. He was not insulting his mother here. It was appropriate at times in some cultures to do this. And he said, Woman, notice this. Behold thy son. And then he said, he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. Whoa, wait a minute. He said, was he talking about himself? No. Woman, behold thy son. Now that helps me a little bit. He's talking about John. He's standing there with her. Woman, behold thy son. Hey, that helps me understand a little bit better. See, Mary is Jesus' mother. And so when he made reference about being John's mother, not physically, but because he's given him to her to look after. In the dying hour, Jesus understood what his mother meant to him, though he was the Son of God. Watch what he said. Behold thy mother, verse 27. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Ladies and gentlemen, is this not something for the Son of God to say at the biggest moment of his life in eternity at that time on this earth? In eternity, which is in time, isn't that an amazing thing that he would say this at a moment like this when he's paying the sin debt of the world? In other words, he said, John, take care of mother. Let me ask you a question. Where's the half-brothers at? Where's the half-sister? What is going on here? He did not say this to his half-brothers. He did not say this to his sisters. In fact, we don't even know whether they were there at this time or not. But Jesus, as a man, knew what his mother meant to him as the Son of God. And he says to him as he sees John standing by his mother in the dying hour, and he said, Woman, behold thy son. And he says to that disciple, Behold thy mother. And the Bible says at that time, and from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. I want to try to honor mothers this morning. I read where the story, where there's in New York City, a little boy by the name of Charlie went shopping with his mother, got separated, they couldn't find him. She was worried to death, got the police looking for him, and they finally picked him up and called the mother and took him to the police station. She lived a good ways away. And as he went to the police station, they said, We found him, we'll take him, give us the lunchtime, we'll have a break here, we're pretty busy this morning, and we'll take him home, when they found out where he lived at. And the police officer told him, he said, Son, if you will, go over there and lay down on that couch on that side, if you will. This is pretty busy. And he said, When we get through here and get a chance, we're going to take you home. So the little fellow went over there, but he came back a few minutes and talked to one of the, standing right there at the bottom of the foot of one of the officers. And as he did, he said, Now, son, go back and lay down and maybe go to sleep. And this little fellow said, Sir, my mommy taught me to say my prayers before I go to sleep. Can I say my prayers Well, what's that police officer going to say? He said, well, yeah, you can. Go ahead. And that little fellow walked back over that couch, kneeled down inside that couch, and started praying out loud. My heavenly Father. And all of a sudden, everybody in that police station hushed. And the policeman and everyone else standing around with their hats off. And he finished his prayer and said amen. And said, in Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it amazing? A little child stopped a whole group where nobody else could stop at all because his mama taught him how to pray. And he didn't care who was around. By the way, we need to learn that ourselves, folks. We don't care who's around when we talk to our Heavenly Father. Do you talk to him when you're thinking when you go eat somewhere or another? Or do you find yourself saying, I wonder what is watching? Let him look. Let him look. This mother had taught him to pray before he went to sleep. Does anyone deserve any more honor and respect and tender and thoughts and loving and care than mothers? She carried us under her heart before we saw the light of day. They went to death doors for us to be born. A mother's love is the strongest love among human beings other than the love of God. As I read and found a poem about a mother that I want to read before we close, it's simply this. It says, Mother, by Peter Ayens. She rises early every day and gets the children on their way, and she works 12 hours without pay and says she's just a mother. She buys the food and decks the plate and keeps the family budget straight. She does the work that others hate because she is a mother. Her voice can calm the troublous mind. Her touch is gentle, soft, and kind. To faults and failures, she's blind because she is a mother. Her face, with a radiant, is aglow when sons or daughters make a show. And feeling only, she can know because she's a mother. She hears the things you do not say. She feels your heart and stops to pray. And master at psychology, you see, she's just a mother. Today, there are days across the land. God bless our mothers that are grand. The Son of God can understand. Why? Because he had a mother. And we see a relationship between a mother and her son in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he said, behold that mother. I say to you and I, children, behold thy mother. And mothers, have a happy holiday today. The happiest Mother's Day. Would you, mothers, please stand? Just the mothers, mothers, grandmothers, would you please stand? I want to close with this thing, this thought. In this one, we had 73 just in Sunday school. This is much more than that. I'm saying probably 125, 50. Anyhow, thank God for that. Fellas, I want you to bow with me in prayer and pray that God bless our mothers. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Mary, who set the example, the quietness. Lord, she didn't excel in such a way to become the dominant figure. She was humble and submitted to her son. And I pray that, Father, this morning that you bless the mothers of our church, these that are here. Some may be listening by the radio who can't get here today or listening by upstream. Lord, would you give them a great day, and would you help them in this hour as they struggle of what it means in life physically to be a mother. Every heartache they have, help it to be eased. Dear Father, let there be more time of joy than there are when there's in this world, there's so much problems we have. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for our mothers today. Would you there give a good day, and at the same time, dear Father, somehow or another, let them see how much they are appreciated. Lord, we realize they went to the door's death. Man didn't can do that. He went to the door's death that we might be born. And therefore, no telling, there are some mothers who died in birth in years past. And there may be someone here whose mother may have done that, or listening later by radio or even by Ustream. My Heavenly Father, let this be a great day for your glory as we honor our mothers like you say do. And then, dear Father, as we come and honor you, dear Jesus, thank you for what we see in your relationship to your mother and the task that you had, even while Jesus Christ hung on the cross. In the dying hour, he was concerned about his mother. We thank you for that. And we thank you for that. Must understand the love of a mother. Would you give our mothers today a great day? And we'll thank you and praise you and ask it for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.